Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's having a good Friday and another work week. I hope that we're all feeling and I see that the weather is pretty nice out there too. I'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. And what a beautiful day you gave us today, Lord. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the things you provide for us. And I just want to remember that remember our country and our prayers, and that we can all come together and remember each other's, remember our leaders and our prayers, and to remember, also keep in mind your chosen country of Israel, and we're thankful for all the things you provide for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, today's part 11 of Paul's journey, and we're just finishing up the Council at Jerusalem. This is part 2. And the emphasis, just a little quick refresher from yesterday, was that we found out that there was a big controversy between the Jews and some of the Gentiles, some of the Pharisees, I guess. Wasn't that they weren't accepting that the Gentiles are coming into the church, but they kind of wanted to go back to the Mosaic law and say that everybody had to be circumcised based on the law of Moses, or the law that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. And that so where we're at now is that we're in Acts 15:20, and just they've just decided that it's because the Jews realized that they had a lot of trouble trying to keep the whole law, and now since Jesus has died and risen again, and that we're in a new dispensation of grace, that why should we put on the Gentiles something that we had a lot of trouble ourselves doing? So I'll start off with Acts 15:20. But that we write unto them that they abstain. So basically, this is the what they decided at the Council of Jerusalem. And it's basically the disciples got together with Paul and Barabbas, and that this is what they determined. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. And the for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. I got a little confused by this verse. I had to really study it last night. And basically, I think what this is saying is between 20 and 21. I'll just read it first. In 22, I mean. Then pleased it that the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barabbas, namely Judas, surname Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And what I got from this is that, and you can do your own little study, but basically, since the Jews had always pushed the Mosaic law and all the different laws of Moses in all the synagogues and everywhere that they traveled, they felt it was important at this point to make sure that we did the same thing about this decision that we made here in Jerusalem, that the Gentiles won't be required to meet some of the Mosaic laws like circumcision. And so they're going to send these two individuals from the disciples down in Jerusalem, namely Silas and Judas, to, along with some letters that they're going to write, to show the churches as they travel that we've determined that this is not a requirement any longer, and that we want to welcome our new disciples, the Gentiles, into our midst, basically. That's what I got out of it. You can decide for yourself. We'll continue on. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. And continuing on with verse 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us, having troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised, and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. I was just saying that we never really said that, but I think, like we found in our last travel, that the Pharisees were still pushing this a lot. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, and that hazard their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. So that was it. Judas and Silas were going to confirm what the council said, along with the letters, and of course, Barabbas and Paul will also be there. So they'll be confirming what was said during the council. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And reviewing that these are the things that they've determined that all followers of Christ need to be mindful of, that come from the old Mosaic laws, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So they were dismissed from Antioch and from Jerusalem. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. It was the letters that they had carried with them. They've traveled now back up to Antioch, and so that was probably a couple of weeks later. Keeping in mind, it's like 300 miles, so it's a not easy trek. It's not like going to the local corner store. Which, when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. So the churches were glad to hear that what was determined, and it sounds like they didn't have any problem with the ruling. And then, as Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Now, I was reading a little bit about this prophet thing. It seems that there was a little shift in the meaning of that word from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So I don't want you to get, at least from what I determined, prophets were not necessarily speaking of things of the future at this point. Not like you would think back to, Daniel and Isaiah and those prophets of the Old Testament who foresaw the future from God. Prophets in the Greek were more as like witnesses, almost like somebody who can confirm what somebody else is saying. Basically a second confirmation. So that's what they mean by the word prophets here. I found that really interesting. At first I was saying that I had always heard there wasn't any prophets in the New Testament except for John, during Revelation, pretty much. So I thought I'd point that word out. And so after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. So basically, Silas and Judas were going to head back to Jerusalem, but come to find out, I guess Silas was excited to maybe stay on and continue the missionary journey. So here we are in verse 34. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So he stayed with Paul, and we're going to see him go with Paul into the next missionary journey. And Paul also and Barabbas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and with many others also. And that's pretty much it for today, because the next verses are going to head into the second missionary journey. And I thought I would just, I found this really neat right up in my Bible. I got a Thompson Chain Renfrew's Bible, and about Antioch, and I just thought I'd read it, a little historical background on it. Antioch, where the followers of Christ were first called Christians, is located some 300 miles north of Jerusalem on the west bank of the Ornatus River In ancient times, it was called the Queen of the East because of the beauty of its surroundings, the importance of its commerce, and its strategic location on the intersecting caravan routes between the east, west, north, and south. Princeton University and the National Museum of France began excavations at Antioch in 1932, and during the six succeeding years, unearthed over 20 ruined churches, numerous baths, two cemeteries, a stadium, and many gorgeous floor mosaics. Some of these mosaics represent scenes, they're about 30 by 40 feet, representing the fable of the Phoenix, while others discovered in the 6th century floor of a building near St. Paul's Gate bore the inscription, "Peace be your coming in, you who look on this joy and blessing be to those who stay here." The most sensational find, however, was a beautiful silver drinking cup carved from a single piece of silver and enclosed by a unique outer chalice, exquisitely carved with symbolic grapevines, along with our 12 seated figures, thought by many to represent Christ and the 11 of his apostles. The inner cup holds 2.5 quarts of liquid, and evidently an ancient relic of great sanctity. Some, but not all, regard it as the Holy Grail, the cup used by the Christ and his disciples at the Last Supper. It has been variously dated from the 1st to the 6th century. Most scholars, however, favor a date of from the 4th or 5th century. The double cup is now in cloisters, New York City, and is famed as the Chalice of Antioch. That was kind of interesting. So that's a little bit about what they know about Antioch, and I showed you those pictures before of Antioch. We can look at them again. Oh, let me get back to where they are. Oh, wrong. Wrong set of pictures. Okay, here we go. So looks like it might be a bathhouse. And then my Roman Road, that's up near Antioch. I think that one was actually the other Antioch. And this is the one that, and then some other pictures. That's actually Antioch, Turkey. So that's it. Oh, and this is one of the temples they found. They mentioned it. They uncovered a bunch of churches. Couldn't find a picture of that cup, though. So if you're ever in New York City and you want to check it out, that was found actually in Antioch. So that's it for today, and I'll close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much for the ongoing times that we're living in, exciting times, and looking forward to your soon return. And thank you, Lord, so much for all that you bless us with, and keep us safe, and keep in mind that I'll see you again on Monday, and don't forget that Sunday we have our regular services starting at 9, 10, and then again at 5 in the evening. And so thank you, Lord, so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And I already said it during the prayer, but keep in mind that should be I'm having some computer trouble, so I'm hoping to have something working by the time Sunday gets here. But so look for us at Sunday at 9 o'clock for might be in if you can, come in person. Church is open. But also, I'm going to try to get the live stream going, too. And so you all have a great day, and we'll see you later. And we'll end with Paul, except I don't have the other two there in my picture, but heading off from Jerusalem to Antioch this time. So we'll see you all later. Have a great day.